Presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Dr. Stephanie Oren from Emmanuel College in Boston.
And I'm Dr. Brian McCauley here in Jönköping in the Media Management and Transformation Center in the city of DreamHack. Now, our guest today has a lot of hats. So it's Dr. Nico Bessoms, and I'm reading this, Associate Professor of Sociology of Sport at the University of Paris. He is a Global Advisor to Global Association of International Sports Federations and a current Vice President of the French Esports Association. He's also a founding member of the French Speaking Association for Esports Studies and Research, and as a part of the board for the International Journal of Esports. And the reason he's here today is because he is on the first official board with us as the Esports Research Network, and he is organizing something, and that's what we're here to talk about. So, Nico, we're gonna ask you the question. Just to start off, you know the question. What is your Esports version of yes?
For me, esports is depending on four criteria. The first one is actually a confrontation of players. The second one is this confrontation that has to take place on a video game. And these video games should be organized through competitions. Should they be leagues, championships, tournaments? And these tournaments, championships, or every competition has to be regulated by the organizers. So my definition is esports is the codified confrontation of players during organized competitions.
So matchmaking in CSGO, that's not esports then?
Actually, it's very difficult, you know. It really depends. For me, actually, when I'm speaking with the players, it's a kind of esports, maybe a kind of recreational esports, because what is very difficult is the fact that you can just try hard on the ladder, on the matchmaking, on CSGO, on League of Legends, but never attend to any competitions, you know, never register for a competition. And the question is, are you a kind of e-sporter? I really don't know. But a good way, in my opinion, to just avoid this problem, this issue, is just to say, if you doesn't register for any competition, it's not exactly e-sports. So you have to make the effort to register, to participate to a competition that is outside of the lobby of the game.
That's interesting. I think you're the first one that I can remember who specifically brought up sort of leaderboards as kind of being potentially a factor to consider when thinking about the definition of esports.
Yeah, it's really difficult really to define what is esports and what is an esportsman or esports woman. I think that we need to find some very specific criteria, especially when we are publishing in research journals and scientific journals, because everybody is speaking about esports, but actually, are we speaking about the same esports? Are we speaking about people that are only confronting themselves on the matchmaking or on the leaderboard or on the lobby, or is it people that are actually playing and competing during competitions, you know? So I find just that we just need to be very specific and very accurate when we are speaking about esports in our papers, just to be sure that we are speaking about the same thing. But actually, all the definitions for me are fit with esports, but when we are just publishing, just try to be the most accurate as possible.
Oh God, I have to go back and change the paper now. really thanks, sorry. Nico. There you go. There's
your... I'm sorry, sorry.
Now we're editing to be done. Okay, so we're here to talk about a certain event. What is the event you have? What is your... I think I'm part of it. Oh, we are, Steph, actually. Yeah,
so, yes, we are.
I so much on to forget things, but we're part of it. But it's not. It's being hosted by you. So what is it, Nico? Tell us about it.
So actually, the Esports Research Network is organizing the Esports Research Network Conference, which is an international congress that will be held online on December 2021. The main theme that has been decided by the scientific and the organizing committees is esports health and well-being. The fact is that actually we wanted for the Esports Research Network to have an event, a regular event, scientific event, of course, that can bring together all the members of the Esports Research Network and, of course, an international conference, scientific conference, is the best way actually to bring together all these fantastic people. And why this theme for this topic for this year is what we have seen since the past couple of years is the fact that health in the esports is beginning to be a hot topic, and that there is a lack actually of literature about it. It's all just in its infancy when we are regarding health and esports literature, and mostly focused on the physical aspects. So mostly about musculoskeletal disease and carpal tunnel syndrome, for example. And since now a few months about the mental aspect of the health issues regarding burnout or professional exhaustion for mostly CSGO professional players. But there is also the social aspect of of health, parental environment, the rhythms of life of these pro players. And this is not really addressed right now. So we wanted to actually gather all the people that are working on this topic and that actually trying to have empirical data about health concern in esports, and to maybe emphasize or try to push the scientific community to address this topic actually for the event, but also for the next years, because we think that this is a good way to make the link between academic world and the industry, because most of the people that are managing the players, so all the staffs, coach, analysts, staff manager, nutritionists, physical therapists, mental trainers, or physical trainers, everybody is trying to address this topic on the daily basis, but most of these people are looking for tools for actually good practices to implement for the players. And for us on the academic side, we are working on this topic, but there is a difficulty to reach the population, reach the pro players, reach actually this sample of the population. And this is, I think, a good way to create this link between both the industry and the academic world.
Now, we're on a scientific committee, right? So we've been part of the review process, and I'm such a softie. I never say outright no because I hate being reviewer too. But there's this I3SP.
Yeah.
This is the Institut de Sciences du Sport Santé of the Université de Paris. are très joli to host their premier online international esports research conference. My French is terrible. Who are these guys that you're working with, and how hard was it for you to convince them to take this seriously?
Actually, it was not that hard, because so the I3SP, the Institute of Sports and Health related studies of Paris, this is my laboratory, actually. So we are part of the sports faculty of the University of Paris. We are 16 actually academics working on all sports and health related topics, and we are divided in three axes, and the last one is about hybridization and sports. So everything regarding digitalization of sports or sportivization of gaming, all the small border between sports and virtual environment. So most of my colleagues are working on VR, virtual reality, for elderly people or for people with disabilities and stuff like that. And so we are quite aware of how digital tools can enhance health for specific populations. So this is why actually all my lab was really really enthusiastic about the idea to organize and to host this international conference about esports and health. And also because actually in France, there are not that many sports science laboratories that are working on esports. So it's a way also for my university to put a flag, you know, saying, okay, we are working on esports. This is a good way to say it. So it was not that difficult, to be honest.
That's so exciting to be on the frontier of that. And like you said, kind of put your name on it first and be a pioneer in that area that's really needed.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how it works in all the different parts of the world, but in France, all these laboratories in the sports sciences, they try to exist and they are not really competing, but everybody is looking on what is working the other laboratories. And with all the Olympic Games that are actually will be hosted in Paris in 2024, most of the labs for sports sciences are mainly focused on performance. And there are a few that are working more on sports and health, on all the health aspects of sports. And I think this is quite smart from my lab to not actually try to compete with the others, because to be honest, we are not armed, or we don't have the skills to address everything regarding esports, and most of our researchers are working on health, so it was really relevant for us to really focus on everything regarding health and esports and not try to go on the performance. The main inconvenient is the fact that there are not that much money right now if you are not working on performance, because all the fundings are going to performance, just everybody is focused on Paris 2024.
It must be a little bit healthier for you guys organizing that it's online, because I did the 2019 symposium with 60 people and I did it in a very short time frame and it nearly killed me. So I mean, like, you know, it's a lot of work. So with the digital format, I mean, what challenges? Obviously, it's a little bit easier not having to say to someone, okay, give me your invoices, I'll pay for your flights. I mean, what are the challenges of hosting it online?
So, of course, it's less expensive to organize. So trying to find the funding is easier, to be honest. But what is quite difficult is the fact that most of my colleagues are not really comfortable with all the digital tools. Even if we are, in a lockdown since now, I don't know, 12 or 18 months, I don't count anymore. But they are not that much very comfortable with, you know, OBS or, Twitch. That's some stuff that Zoom is okay. Teams is quite okay. Discord, it's a mess for them. So if we are speaking about OBS, they are, you know, totally overpassed. So this is the main challenge right now. It's just to educate my colleagues to these new tools and how we can make and organize an event that is totally digital, totally online. The first meetings, all my colleagues were, but what part will be just, physical? No, there will be no part physical, but okay, how are we going to do, I don't know, the informal meetings, the general assembly of the associations? No, everything will be online and it will be okay. But how are we going to, you know, register, record all the different conferences, all the different communications? And don't worry, we will do it and it will go okay. So what I've decided actually is mostly to be helped about all the broadcasts with a specialized agency that is doing some stuff in esports. Actually, this is what they are doing and they are good at it. So this is a small agency called We Are Esports, which is very young. I think that they have been created like in the late 2019, something like that, created by a former League of Legends French pro player, and former people from Riot France. So they are very skilled about the broadcast and they really know how esports is done and works. And they will help us for all the broadcast aspects. They will create the overlays. They will create, they will be the directors of the event, and this is quite a relief for my colleagues, because now they know that they won't have to do it. They are okay. There will be all the technical aspects will be organized by this agency, and we can focus on the content. And this is actually what has been the most difficult for my colleagues.
So it's a website? Is that what's going to happen, or is it a expanded Zoom? In very simple terms, what's going to happen?
I'm not sure yet. We are working because with my university we have some Zoom license, very the premium license of the Zoom. So we can use that, and after the agency will create all the overlays with that, or maybe they will use, I don't know what they can't actually what they want to use, or what they are used to use as a tool for the streaming, but we'll see. But for the audience, for the spectators, it will be like you are watching TV or watching watching the esports research report. It will be quite the same, with this overlay, and when someone will take will speak, it will be enlarged, and after. During the panels, everyone will be changing places, on the overlay. So it will be, I hope, very pro. This is what I'm looking for. And I didn't want to make something quite cheap, as we don't have to pay for accommodation, for transport. So we don't need that much money. But if we have a little bit some fundings from the university, we have fundings from Ubisoft, for example. So if it can help to make the experience for the spectators the most comfortable as possible, this is the idea.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask earlier, Nico, I know you had planned to bring in some folks from industry to be a part of the conference, right? Can you tell us a little bit? I don't know how much you can say or if names have been announced at this point.
I can tell everything. even if we haven't announced anything yet, I can tell everything. So just to be totally transparent, we received 28 communication and 3 symposia. So it's actually above our expectation. We were expecting something about 20. So it's really cool from different part of the world, mostly from Europe and North America, but also a little bit from Oceania, Australia, and from China. So we are really actually happy about that, really glad. So this part will be organized on parallel session, there will be some track session of 3 people presenting between, 15 or 20, 25 minutes what they are doing. Most of this communication are empirical studies with empirical data, and everybody will show what they are doing. And the idea is that among the community of all these researchers, we can share our experience and, try to improve what we are doing. And then, this part is mostly focused on the academic world and very classic. And the second part is we have some keynote speakers. So we will have 2 keynote speakers. The first one is Professor Joan Donahue de Francisco, which is a professor at the New York Institute of Technology of Esports Medicine. I think she's the director of the Esports Medicine Center at the New York Institute of Technology. So she's one that has the most published about esports and health during the past 2 years or 3 years. And she will she will address the topic in the broader way, in the wide and broad way, just to explain to all the audience what are the main concerns right now and the main challenges regarding health in esports in the different dimension. And the second keynote will be from Ismael Pedraza, that you have received already, I think, 2 times, no? No, 1 time or 2 times? I don't remember.
No, we did it 1 time, and I changed shirts and we pretended it was 2 times, like we're going to do with this podcast. Because, we're going to finish this part and I'm going to do another part. So I'm just not bothered doing the magic of television again.
You are giving all the insights. The second speaker will be Ismael Pedraza, who is actually a doctoral candidate at the University of Köln in Germany in psychology of performance, and he is also the performance coach of Rogue Esports, and especially the League of Legends.
It's pronounced Rogue.
Oh, Rogue. Sorry.
That's so French.
Yeah, this is my French accent. So Rogue Esports, especially the League of Legends Pro professional team, which is competing in the LEC, the League of Legends European Championship. And actually, I asked him to make the link between the academic world and the professional aspect, in the industry. So how its own research helped him to help the players during the different splits, because right now is I think Rogue is they're first for the of the first team of the split right now. They lose last weekend, but I think they are still the number one on the, of the split. So the idea is how his own research about psychology of performance has helped him to implement some tools, some dispositives, some action for his players, and what is working, what is not working, what are the main obstacles that he has actually been confronting, stuff like that. So these are the two main keynotes. And after that, we have four panel of experts on four topics. The first one is about musculoskeletal disease and disorders and physical health in esports. We will have Lynn Semiglior, which is a PhD and also at the New York Institute of Technology, also editorial board of the journal on Annals of Esports Research, I think. Also Kate McGee, which is a founder of 1HP, and she's a physical therapist working with a lot of players. And I discovered her, I think 2 years ago, she was working with Smash players. And we will have, who will be the player? The idea is for each panel to have one academic, one professional, and one player. And the player will be Dario Wünsch, Liquid TLO, a former Liquid TLO. Right now is not anymore for working for Liquid. StarCraft 2 players. So StarCraft 2 players have actually... It's a scene where there have been a lot of physical injuries regarding esports. So I think it will be, if I remember well, it will be moderated by Seth Jenny from Slippery Rock University that you received.
We've also had on the show as well.
Exactly.
Very small
world. Of course. The second panel will be about mental health and burnout in esports. We will have Mia Stelberg, which is a master of science in psychology, sports psychology, which is actually she has worked with OG Esports, double back-to-back winner of the International on Dota 2. She has worked with Astralis on CSGO. I don't know. I think she's working with a lot of teams on different scenes. We will also have, it's quite new, Martina Kubrić. I'm not sure how I pronounce her name. She is the performance coach for Mad Lions on League of Legends. I think she's Croatian, and she's also a performance and sports psychologist. For the player, we are hoping to have Seb, Dota 2 player, back-to-back winner of the International from OG. And if I remember well, regarding, I think it's Tobias Scholz that will be moderating this panel, I think.
We know him too.
Oh, really? Wow, amazing.
Never heard of him.
Oh, sorry. I will present him too.
Just kidding.
The third panel will be about nutrition in esports. So we will have the chief, how we say in English, the cook. Chef.
Yeah.
Okay. The chef of Rogue Esports. We will have also Stephanie Harvey, former CSGO player, and also head of diversity and players development for CLG in North America. We are waiting for the answer of, I hope, I really hope that we will have her. It's Jess Turner, which is a actually doctoral candidate at Queensland University working on nutrition and esports. We'll see if she's available. And I didn't ask you yet, Steph, but I will hope that you will be moderating this panel.
I would be happy to.
Cool. It was a trap.
Okay, that's it. The fake podcast is over, Nico. You trapped her. Okay.
Thank you. Bye. No, sorry. And lastly, the last panel of experts will be actually about parental environment in esports, because I really think that it's a topic that is not enough addressed, the role of parents in the career of the pro players. We will have Koen Schober as a player, a former player, a former pro player of Trackmania. I don't know if you know Trackmania. It's
to get through 15, 20 seconds of it and do better every time. Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually.
Okay, yeah, exactly. This is a racing game and more arcade than simulation, but it's really fun to play. And it was one of the best. And actually, right now, he has created... I don't know. I think it's a company called Parents of Play, and is doing a lot of conferences for parents to help them to actually be aware of what their kids are doing, what they are playing, gaming and esports. And he has published a book. He is from Netherlands, so it's in Netherlands. I don't know how to pronounce it, but
Dutch.
Dutch, thank you. In Dutch, and he has published a book about that in Dutch. And we asked Cap's dad, so the father of the League of Legends player, mid laner for G2, Caps, to participate. I'm waiting for his answer. He was quite enthusiastic, but he seems very busy. So we will see. And lastly, we are awaiting the answer from someone from the Coalition of Parents of Esports, which is...
That sounds kind of evil. The coalition of anything just sounds evil to me, you know? We're the coalition of puppies and hugs.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, I didn't decide the name, actually. So the... it's COPE, you know, COPE, the Coalition of Parents of Esports, an association that has been created in North America for all the parents that actually have kids that are competing at the highest level in esports. And we are waiting for someone to participate, a mom, I hope. And this panel will be moderated by the fantastic Brian McCauley,
who just called one of the guest names of their organization as evil sounding. So I've already screwed this up.
That's an amazing lineup, though. I'm like blown away by the people you've managed to get for this. I'm so excited.
Not actually, the panel moderators, though.
They are really great. All the
people are moderating, amazing. Yeah.
No, I'm really happy, to be honest. It was actually, it's a kind of dream come true, you know, because most of this, the idea to organize this event was also for me to have the opportunity to gather all these fantastic people that I'm following on the social networks, on Twitter, on, you know, on the media. I say, hey, I love you guys. Just come to my event and participate. This is actually, most of these people are just people I'm fan of. That's it.
Okay, that's a good reason. I mean, look, the next, the second one when we do it will hopefully be in the post-pandemic world. And of course, we will always operate every event at the same place and the same time as a major esport event. So in 2019, I had the symposium, DreamHack happened the next day. And so, you know, I mean, that's the only disappointing thing. That so every conference that we're going to do will have be attached for research purposes, of course, and not for the fact that we'll all run around playing games and having lots of fun for 3 days afterwards. So, you know, in terms of conferences, the Esport Research Network conferences are probably going to be the most appealing in the world to anyone interested in the topic, because we'll be like, have a VIP badge or at least a backstage pass to this event. And, you know, and that's going to be fantastic. So unfortunately, this one is digital only. But in the future, we will have that. And, you know, I wanted to go see Paris. I wanted someone else to pay for my plane tickets.
No, but actually, the first idea was to host the event during the Paris Games Week, which is the main event, like the Gamescom in Cologne, you know, or the Tokyo Game Show in Japan. So the main idea was to mix both, and everything was okay. But Paris Games Week has been cancelled last year and this year too. It's official right now. So this is why we decided to translate it online. But the main idea was to actually welcome all the participants and say, look, all the Paris Games Week is for you. Just, okay, come to hear all our panelists and participate, but please enjoy Paris, but also enjoy all the esports hall and with all ESL, Freaks 4U Gaming, ESWC. Just enjoy, speak to people. It was the main idea. So, yeah, I totally agree. I really hope that next year should, maybe in Paris or, I don't know, maybe in another place, but to mix it with a real esports event is the best, of course.
I don't mind if we do it again in Paris, but you know, I'm in the city of DreamHack, or no DreamHack right now, so that's a bit of a bummer. I mean, it's got loads of churches, and that's what it's famous for, apart from DreamHack. And then, you know, my church, I like going to the Cathedral of CSGO in Cologne, where we founded the network. So that's another option, and of course, here in Jönköping maybe is also an option with DreamHack Winter and Summer. So Nico, when, in terms of people attending the event who are not presenting, how are we arranging that? Is it going to be streamed live, or what's happening?
Yeah, it will be streamed live on YouTube and Twitch, mostly on Twitch because Twitch is the platform for esports, everything regarding esports, of course, but also on YouTube because just for technical aspects, if we want to make parallel sessions, so just to switch from one channel to another one, we can't make it on Twitch without creating two channels. So we should have Esports Research Network channel one and channel two, which is actually quite, you know, it's heavier. Just on YouTube, you can switch, so it's easier. So for all the parallel session, it will be on YouTube and Twitch. And for the keynotes and the panel of experts, it will be mostly on Twitch, but if people want to look at it on YouTube, it's also possible. But the main idea for this conference is to address, of course, researchers and academic world, professionals from the industry, institutions, and also general public. This is the main idea. We want to make it the most appealing for everybody. We want to, and this is why we created this panel of experts with people that are quite famous or well-known. It's just to attract people that are not really fond of research like we are, you know, and say, look, it can be fun. It can be fun to listen to people that are academic and speaking with people that you are loving because they are from the industry. They are really famous for that. And actually, it's matching. It's fitting. Both are speaking the same language, and it's more appealing that it can seem at the beginning. So it's for everybody.
And of course, they're videos, so they'll stay forever. Yeah. So we'll have them. But I mean, I'll ask the production team. That's me. So hopefully your guys in Paris will edit all the videos before they send them to me to be uploaded.
Because of course, we will do that. We will do that, to be sure. Yeah, everything will be, we will stay on the web. Sure, the idea is for all the people that can't attend because they are busy for work or I don't know, that 1 week later, or maybe 1 year later, or maybe 10 years later, that they will be able to look at it.
And hopefully everyone's got vaccinated by then so they can go for a proper haircut. And you know, not the clippers like I do. I've got a mullet going on here. It's COVID haircut. That's why I got so much hair gel, just to keep the Billy Bob Thornton look from spreading out too far.
You're fantastic. Gorgeous.
Of course. Très bien. Hey, okay, Nico, thanks very much about the conference. All the details are below the video or the audio podcast. You can go to the ERN site and we'll have full details below here, and you can click and follow and see when you can attend yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to you guys. Thank you for participating to the scientific committee and for moderating all the panels. That's really cool, Steph. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, everybody. I'm driving.